Oh, a lot of things have been killed off by the internet, like the Rolodex, multi-volume encyclopedias, paper maps, but somehow shopping catalogs continue to survive. Why? Here's NPR's Uri Berliner.
Maybe you think we at NPR assign stories after extensive research and data analysis. Sure, that definitely happens, but sometimes it's more like this. My colleague Cara Tallo sent an email that basically said, "What's the deal with catalogs?" And she attached a picture of all the shopping catalogs she received in a single day. So we counted them.
13, 14, 15, 16. But you know what? One of these was a flyer. Full disclosure, we should omit this.
And weighed them.
Oh my gosh. 4.5 pounds.
4.5 pounds on a single day.
Yes, sir.
With a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a busy job, Kara's just not going to spend a lot of time with those catalogs. But at least she allows them in the house. Unlike Rick Narod, he's a college professor in Chico, California.
I ignore them. I get them in the mail sometimes, and they don't make it into the house. I walk past the recycling bin, and they go right in.
Then why do companies invest serious money in a product that often winds up unread, in recycling or the trash?
Consumers really still love looking at catalogs.
That's Bruce Cohen of the management consulting firm Kurt Salmon. The company produced an article called "Is the Catalog Dead?" And the answer was a definitive no. The number of catalogs mailed in the U.S. peaked in 2007, according to the Direct Marketing Association. It's come down since then, but last year it ticked up again to a whopping 11.9 billion catalogs mailed to addresses around the U.S.
And what's interesting about that is you even have purely online companies starting to experiment with printed catalogs.
So the death of print is highly exaggerated, at least when it comes to shopping.
I love catalogs.
That's Mary Winter. She lives in Binghamton, New York, and works at a Guitar Center warehouse.
I typically go online and order whatever I'm getting, or I go into the store because it's a little faster, but I still get my ideas from the catalogs.
Or take Sue Johnson. She has what you might call the 360-degree perspective. Johnson's a postal service mail carrier in Bay City, Michigan.
Kind of where the thumb joins to the mitten.
For 28 years, she hauled catalogs and other mail in a satchel.
It builds up the muscles in your arms a lot.
Sometimes she would hand people their catalogs, and they would toss them out right in front of her. But when Johnson curls up on her couch at home, it's a different story.
I'll sit here and read catalogs for hours and just look at stuff. Stuff I either wish I had or maybe something will give me an idea to make something.
Maybe you're one of the catalog haters, but retailers know there are plenty of people like Mary Winter and Sue Johnson. Felix Carbolito is the chief marketing officer at Williams-Sonoma, Inc.
We look at them less as tools and more as magazines for our customers. So that means they've become more editorial. They become more of a source book of ideas.
Those aren't just fluffy marketing words. A Williams-Sonoma analytics team crunches data to help determine who's most receptive to catalogs, their size and content. Versions are tailored to a customer's purchasing history. Carbolito says you see the payoff at the brick-and-mortar stores.
Our customers come in with the catalog dog-eared and refer to the catalog as, "This is the style of my home that I'm looking to achieve."
The style portrayed in high-end catalogs, often it's a tableau. You've seen it, maybe a couch, a bookcase, a couple of rugs, plants, sunlight streaming into a casually elegant room. Even if you're not buying, the retailers want you to keep dreaming. And that's one reason the catalogs keep coming. Uri Berliner, NPR News.